Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 3. As you sang, Miss Lowry, I appreciate the music today and the story and the testimony and to the glory of who our God is and what He's done, and He'll do it again. Amen. Children's church. Sorry. Remember, y'all, I'm not going to remember that, so we're going to fix that somehow. We got some plans in the works too, so we're going to give you more time in children's church soon. Awesome. Praise the Lord. So good to see you. As you sang that song by Lori Story, I love that song. The blessings. Sometimes blessings. Sometimes it comes in raindrops, right? And sometimes it comes through other means. And as you sang, it ministered to my wife today. I know she's sitting there, and in 2 weeks it'll be the 1 year anniversary for her father's passing. And beside her is some of our most precious friends, and Miss Sherry Grizzard, and her father was on my service as well, Mr. Ray Kilgo. And so both of those ladies sit right there that just in this past year have lost their fathers. And so minister to them in a very special way. So I appreciate that so much. God bless you is our prayer. This is Max and Sherry Grizzard and their beautiful daughter, Miss Maggie. And they've been friends of ours for a long, long, long time. Come up here, Max, and pray for me real quick. And this is Max Grizzard. He is, he's served on my staff. He's just a tremendous man of God. He's involved in a Ponderosa Bible ministry, student ministry at Ponderosa Bible Camp in Mentone, Alabama. He fronts a ministry in DeKalb County called Bible Release Time. We are allowed to get students out of school, elementary students out of school, 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, to teach them character qualities from God's Word. And at one time, we have had as many as 1,000 students enrolled. We're in every county school. Every county, not in the Fort Payne city, but they do after school things, but in every county school, and Max heads that ministry up, we're able to teach these boys and girls about Jesus through and character qualities through God's Word. And we see a lot of these kids saved. These are some of the most precious people that I know, best friends, people that I count on, and Max and Sherry Grizzard. They have 7 children. This is just one. 7 children. And so they're very important to us. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Pray for us today, brother. Step up here and pray for me today and pray for us.
Father God, just thank you for a beautiful day, God. We thank you that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts even to the soul and spirit. And I just pray this morning that you just anoint Brother Chuck, use him to speak your word. I pray, God, that we would hear it. I pray, God, that we would be obedient to it, and I know that it will change us. It will not only change us, but others will see the change in us. And you say in your word that to let our light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And Father, I just pray for your word that it would go forward and do its work. I know it will not return void. Thank you, Father, for all these folks. Pray that you bless them this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'll have Max come back at some point real soon and share with you about Bible Release Time and that children's ministry in DeKalb County, how incredible that is. John chapter number 3, if you'll take your Bible and find that place and stand and read with us this morning. Last week we talked about same picture that John paints for us about this Jesus in John chapter 3 as Jesus being the divine teacher. And last week we spent all of our time in verses 1 through 11. And the gist of that is, and I'm not going to recap all that, but the gist of that is Nicodemus had a question. And he says, how can this be possible? How is it possible that a man can return once again into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus is saying it's not the physical aspect of it, but it's born again from on high. Remember, I told you last week the word again means not the second time, but from on high. If you've never been born from on high this morning, regardless of your age or anything else about you, then you're just not born again. You got to come the Jesus way. And so we said that, and we said that in depth last week, and we're going to press on as we read God's Word together today. So if you'll look in the chapter number 3, we'll start reading in verse number 12 and on there. So John chapter 3 and verse number, I'm going to get to the right place here in a minute, just like the rest of y'all. How about that? That'd be good. Well, actually, let's start reading verse 14. That's kind of where we want to press on from 14 toward the end of the chapter. So look at verse 14. And so Jesus is about to, that conversation last week, we talked about the conversation back and forth and how that conversation went back and forth between Nicodemus and Jesus and how they had that conversation. And now Jesus is going to add some commentary. He's going to say, I'm going to clear all this muddy water up for you, and I'm going to fix some of this so you'll have some understanding. So look what he says in verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Again, pray with us. Father, bless the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, we talked about this picture, this portrait, as Jesus as the divine teacher, and that conversation that goes back and forth, through the first 12, 13 verses of Scripture in this chapter. And as I said, Jesus is now going to add some commentary to the conversation. And that's where the outline picks up, this in your worship guide today. In an effort to clear up the mud that this confused man has, this muddy water this confused man is looking through, Jesus is going to add things and take him a little deeper. And he says in verse 14, it's a shadow of the past. Jesus takes him all the way back into the Old Testament, and he's going to teach him a time when something happened that was very important, this symbolic of Jesus' death at Calvary. And so he says this shadow from the past. Jesus uses this event in Israel's history to illustrate the teaching, and he calls to mind the scene. It comes out of Numbers chapter 21 and verses 4 through 10, and I'm not going to read that passage, but you can go back and look at it. And the Israelites, they're on their journey, and they're in the wilderness. And I've said this many, many times before. I don't understand the children of Israel. I don't understand that I know that God had blinded their eyes, and I know that he didn't let them see clearly exactly, because they were out there wandering for 40 years. But don't you think somebody finally would go, I think I've seen this rock a time or two. I think I've been by here a time or two. You if you've traveled somewhere, can you get back there? Some of you can, because you're not directionally challenged. Now, some of you are directionally challenged, and you can't get there no matter what. I understand that. I do. When we lived in DeKalb County, it was the craziest thing. Lived in Fife, they gave directions like this. They go, if you go down there, that old tree, and you take a left. Now, that tree's been gone 20 years. So how do I get there if the tree's gone? Amen? Well, you know, my favorite was one day this guy said to me, he said, if you go down there where that trailer's not for sale and take a right, and knowing me, I'm like, what does it mean the trailer's not for sale? I couldn't even think about the directions, because my OCD kind of got, what does it mean when the trailer's not for sale? He said, well, he's got a trailer parked in his front yard, and everybody stops all the time and asks him what they want for it. And he said, he finally put up a sign that says, trailer not for sale. Amen? They lived in DeKalb County. I'm telling the truth, right? Go down there, old burnt church. It's been rebuilt, but, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's the way. So Jesus has taken Nicodemus all the way back, and he says, there was this time in the children of Israel's life when they were out there in the wilderness wandering, and they're going about their business, and all the complaining. You know, they complained a lot. I don't like the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too dry. It's too wet. We need food. We need water. We need this. And they didn't even think about that they wandered out there 40 years and their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out and how God blessed them. Amen? Over and over and over and over again. And yet here they are at a point when they're complaining. And God had had enough of that. And he sent serpents, allowed serpents to come among them, and it bit them. And as it bit them, they died. They died. The judgment of God had fallen. And he said, look, as a serpent comes along, it's going to bite them and they're going to die. And Moses, being the leader that he was, because he was a great leader, amen? And you know, I read something yesterday on one of my friends' posts on social media. He said, you know what, we ought to stop complaining about being too old to serve God. Amen? Moses didn't even start till he was 80. He lived to be 120, and he walked to his own funeral. If you read God's Word. He worked to the last day. God said, go up on that mountain and look out over that and look at all that that I'm going to give the children of Israel. By the way, you ain't going. You're going to die right here. So he started at 80 and finished at 120 and walked to his own funeral. So you and I ought to stay at it until Jesus comes. Amen? Moses was a great leader. And leadership is about influence, by the way. And all of us lead in some way or another. We influence people one way or the other. Sometimes it's for good and sometimes it's not for some good. Sometimes it's about great example. Sometimes it's an example of, you know, not being very committed to anything. How about we decide to lead effectively? Amen? And live for the glory of God, and let's try to influence people for the kingdom. Because that's why God left us here. But Moses was a great leader, and so he interceded for the children of God. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what, if you'll make an image of this serpent out of brass and put it on a pole and raise it up, and when someone is bitten, all they got to do is look to the serpent and live. Look and live. That's the commandment. That's the call. Just look and live. All you got to do is look, and you'll be saved from the bite of that venomous snake. And the story's true today. All you got to do is look and live. Amen? You just got to look to Jesus and believe by faith and trust that He is who He said He is and that He can do what He said He could do and that He will save you if you believe on Him for eternal life. It's that easy. So Nicodemus has got some confusion, but Jesus is trying to clear that up in a very clear way. And so then he talks about the sacrifice for sin. He talks about this shadow from the past, but he talks about this sacrifice for sin. And again, I said to you last week, probably the most recognized verse of Scripture in all the world today, people that don't even know the Bible know something about John 3:16, or they see the reference on a sporting event or other places, and they go, what is John 3:16? It's probably been Googled a lot all over the world at different times. So it's probably one of the most recognizable verses of Scripture, whether it's understood clearly or not. It's a very recognizable passage. So it's talking about a sacrifice for sin. Jesus tells Nicodemus that God's love for humanity was so great that He willingly gave up His only Son to die for sinners. Amen. The Scripture says that while we were yet sinful, Christ died for us. The Scripture even goes further and says that God, in the form of Jesus, made Himself of no reputation. You read that verse and you go, what does that exactly mean? No reputation. Listen, when Jesus left heaven, He gave up every attribute that was His. He gave up every authority that was His. He gave up everything that He had and was heir to and came and tasted flesh and put on the robe of flesh just like you and I to live among us, to die for us at Calvary so that He could pay the debt that we owed that we could never pay. Amen? You think about that for just a minute. Made Himself of no reputation. Stepped out of heaven, that place, to enter our world, to be the sacrifice for our sin. And He did that willingly. Jesus is taking Nicodemus to a place that he's thinking still about the natural birth, and He's clearing all this up. He says, listen, I want you to understand. You need to understand this, that you got to look to Jesus and live because He is the sacrifice for our sin. And thank God that He did all this so that while we as sinners and we come before Him and bow and repent of our sin and trust Him, the Bible says that I'm gloriously saved. Amen? I got a guy that I met this week. He's a patient of mine. He's 58 years old. I won't tell you his name, but he's got lung cancer and it's bad. I mean, I saw, you know, I'm there and his cup sitting there where he's coughing up blood. He's not going to be with us long. 58 years old. I'm making my assessment of this gentleman, and I'm thinking, you know, I visit, my frequency as a chaplain is about once a month. I better change that because he's not going to be with me for 3 months. I need to change that. And he's coughing up blood, and he's a very sick man, but he's listening to everything that I got to say. And when I asked him about his religious preference, he said, I don't have one. I said, you don't have one. I said, okay. I said, so I go on, and I said, so there's no connection to a church or church family or anything. No, I don't have one. He said, I'm just a believer. Well, that opens the door for me. I didn't ask. He's the one that opened the door, so I'm going to step through when he says I'm a believer. And when he said I'm a believer, I said, what does that mean? I said, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? He said, well, I'd like to think so. I said, well, the Bible says that these things are written that you can know, amen, that you can have eternal life, that you don't have to think so, hope so, guess so, or maybe so. You can know so. And I got to tell him about the forgiveness of God and how that's available. And it's impossible for you or me or anybody else to stand before God with sin in our life. And that if I've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that his judgment upon my sin that day is going to be without mercy. And there is not going to be any hope. Today's a day of salvation. And today's a day of hope. And today's a day of grace and mercy. And today is a day of salvation, as the scripture says. And so if you're not sure, you ought to get saved today. Amen. That 58-year-old man held my hand and repented of his sins and asked Jesus to be Lord of his life. And I tell him, just like I said to Emma last week, Emma, I said, your story. I said, when you rest in Jesus, he's promised to support you and not let you fall. Amen? He's not going to let you fall anymore. And he's going to make sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. And you don't have to think so, hope so, guess so. You know so today that Jesus is your Lord and the promise is eternal life. That's what Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to see. It's not about going into his mother's womb the second time, being born physically again. It's about being born again from on high, asking Jesus to be Lord of our life, letting Jesus be Lord of our life, and he is the sacrifice. And then in verses 15 and 16, there's this simple plan. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the key to receiving salvation is as simple as believing. We've made it everything under the sun in the Baptist church. We've taught people for years that you got to ask Jesus in your heart. And I say to you this, that that's not a biblical principle. And if you don't believe that, find it in the text and bring it to me. And you and I will debate that issue, whether or not you find it in the Word of God where it says you got to ask Jesus into your heart. The Bible says the key ingredient to being saved is to believe on Jesus Christ and him alone for eternal life and to repent of your sins and trust that he's able to do that, because believing is more important than asking him to come into your heart, because that's not a biblical principle. We've done that to people for years. They come to the altar, we lead them in some prayer to pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart. Bible says that you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. It's not asking him to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice for sin, and you're repentant of your sin, and you're trusting him and him alone for eternal life. That's the simplicity of salvation. And yet we've made it everything imaginable. Got to join the church. Got to take the sacraments. Our Catholic brothers and sisters, they take communion every week because the reason they do that is it's a means of salvation. They eat the wafer and it literally becomes the flesh of Jesus in their mouth. They drink the wine or the blood or whatever and it literally becomes the blood of Jesus Christ in their mouth. It's called transubstantiation. And through that act of transubstantiation, they're saved. And I say to you this, you can take communion 10 days in a row and still be lost and undone without Jesus. The only means of salvation is to believe on him for eternal life and repent of your sins. Otherwise, you're still lost and still undone. When I was just a little kid, my dad, I told you my story. My dad was career military. We lived all over creation, right? We lived in the I wasn't born yet when they were in the Carolinas. They were in the Carolinas and Georgia, and I was born in Alabama at Selma, in Selma, Alabama. You know where Selma's at? Way down there. Way down there somewhere in below Montgomery. Down there, the Craig Airfield was open way back then, and I was born in Selma, Alabama. We left Alabama, South Alabama. I was 3, and we went to Alaska. That's quite a culture shock. Amen? I'm kind of like, any Rick and Bubba fans? I'm a Rick and Bubba fan. I love those guys. My favorite character on Rick and Bubba is Dippin' Dan. Oh, Dippin' Dan. That's my favorite character. But anyway. I'm like Willy and Wanda from Rick and Bubba. Amen. One of the greatest stories I ever heard. Funny. You ain't heard it, you're listed. Rick and Bubba gave away prizes way back when. They gave it, this couple won this, and her name was Willie, and her husband was in the prison. She wanted to know if she could bring her boyfriend. Honest story, true story. I'm not making this up. Willie and Wanda, look for it yourself. When they get there to pick him up in a limo, Willie comes out of the house, and he's got his one of those racers. That wore the big black cowboy hat with the rooster feathers, whatever his name was. Richard Petty, that's who it was. My wife's a race fan. I'm not watching it. But anyway, so he come out and he's got his cowboy hat on and his cowboy boots, and he runs toward the limo and he jumps over that little picket fence, and his toe in his little cowboy boots gets caught and he slides in the dust. And when Bubba opens the door, he said, first thing Willie said to him is, I ain't never been nowhere. Kind of how I felt when we left Montgomery going to Alaska. I ain't never been nowhere. But I'll tell you this. Jesus is taking Nicodemus and he's trying to make sure that he understands the simplicity of this message. Religion tries to make it difficult for men and women to be saved, for boys and girls to be saved. When we went to Alaska, we'd come home for leave, and that's where I was headed. And my grandmother was a godly woman. She'd take me to Bible school. And she'd take me to Bible school. When we'd be home for leave in 30 days in the summer. And so I go to Bible school. In Bible school, you know what? I thought I got saved about every year over in Bible school. I mean, I probably got saved. I don't know how many times I went to Bible school, but I got saved every year in Bible school. You know why? Because they say, you know, here's what you got to do. If you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Let me ask this. Anybody not want to go to heaven, raise your hand. All right, so we all want to go. Amen? So if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. Raise your hand. You want to go to heaven, raise your hand. It's a good thing. You should raise your hand. Amen? All right. If you didn't raise your hand, you and I need to talk, okay? Well, we just need to really have a conversation because it's really a good thing if you want to go to heaven. I mean, we ain't trying to get up a load right now. But it's a good thing to go to heaven. But I'd raise my hand. You want to go to heaven? I'm just a kid. I know nothing about nothing. I know nothing about God, nothing about church, nothing about nothing. I've told you all my story. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I don't know anything. But they go, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. All the other boys raise their hand. I go, shoot, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, if you want to go to heaven, pray this prayer. And I bow my head and I pray this prayer. Now, you got to mean it. You got to be sincere. That's what we'd say. You got to be sincere. Isn't that right, Pastor Max? Got to be sincere. You got to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Problem with that was I was just as lost as I ever was when I left there. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old that I realized the only way to get to heaven is to repent of my sins and trust Jesus and Him alone for eternal life. Somebody finally cleared up the mud for me. Just like Nicodemus is confused and Jesus is saying, it's so simple. You're thinking in terms that's impossible. This is possible. Amen. And not only is it possible, it is so easy. And some of you today are trusting your Baptist faith or your Baptist heritage or your church of whatever to get you to heaven or your church membership or something. And the Bible says that you must be born again. The imperative of the new birth. You must be born again from on high. So Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, look, you got to get this straightened out because it's very important. And then he talks about this sure provision in verse 16. I love that verse. I love John 3:16. We've quoted it for years. But this sure provision that whoever will, the whoevers can come. Isn't that good? When the Lord made this plan of salvation, He determined to exclude no one. Amen? Whoever will hear. If you have ears to hear, whoever will hear, let him hear and look to Jesus and live. Amen? That's how easy that is. Sure provision. absolute certainty. I share with a 58-year-old man dying of lung cancer with Mets to a lot of places, and he's coughing up blood. And when I pray with him, just like everybody else, I always take them to John 6:47, and it says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he that believes on me has, past tense, everlasting life. And I say, that decision you made a minute ago to repent of your sins and trust Jesus and Him alone for eternal life, that was the preparation. Jesus has made this promise. Now, I looked at Him. And I was holding His hand. And I looked Him in the eye and I said, now, if you were to die now, where would you go? He didn't bat an eye and He didn't hesitate. He said, I'd go to heaven. And see, there's a difference. I'm confident that, again, if I die today, I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a good person or a pastor or anything else, because of what Jesus did for me, that's what I'm counting on, amen? And because of that decision that I made way back when, I'm still trusting in that today. I got saved when I'm 18, I'm being saved today at 53, and one day I will be saved in His presence whenever that time comes. I told Kelly this morning on the way here, I said, I'm shooting for 100, I'm going to live till I'm 100. I know that's a lofty goal. I know. But if I don't live till this afternoon, I'm saved and I'm sure. And I hope you are too this morning. Again, why don't we spend so much time talking about Jesus? And remember I said, if we can fall in love with Him and what He's done all over again, maybe we'll love this world and love each other in a way that the world will see that there's nothing can stop us. Amen? Amen. And then He makes this solemn promise in verse 16 and 17. Again, you know verse 16. But verse 17, it's a little weird reading at this angle, isn't it? But I do the best I can with it. But look at verse number 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world was already condemned, already found wanting, already found judged in the sight of God, already found determined to be eternally separated from God forever in a place called hell. But God sent His Son into the world to save the world. To save the world, to redeem the world, to redeem you and I from that dark, doomed past so that we could spend eternity with God in a place called heaven. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing that God loves us like that. This solemn promise. So Jesus plainly promised that whoever believes in Him would have everlasting life. And that word, and He says, now if you don't believe, you're going to perish. And that word perish means to be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. You go, preach, well, that's some tough, stern words, hell. Listen, I think we need to say that today. Amen? The Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a what to shun? A hell to shun. And the opposite of if you're not going to heaven, guess what? I don't care how good you are and how civic-minded you are and how communicable you are or anything else that you are. Or you're a servant. You serve in this, and this. I don't care. If you're not saved, the Bible says you're going to be separated from the love and the presence of God forever in a place called hell. I didn't say it. I'm just trying to warn you. Amen? Repent and believe. Think about Moses. He's running up that pole with that brass serpent on the end, and he's screaming. I can see Moses. What a leader this man was. And Moses is screaming to the people, all you got to do is look and live. And some in their rebellion wouldn't look. And the scripture says many died. Many, many died. The simplicity of that salvation. And then the last thing, and I'm going to finish this up real quick, okay? In verses 18 through 21, I want you to see the condemnation. We've said a lot about it already, but I want you to see it in the scripture. Jesus has a word for those that refuse to come to Him or for those that haven't made that decision today. He gives the sinner a clear portrait of where they are and what they can expect as a result of their refusal or their maybe just your, you know, you're just put it off. You just put it off. Not today. Not today, Jesus. Hey, I want to tell you, that's my story. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but there was something God was drawing me. When I got old enough to drive, I'd go to church every once in a while, even the little church down the road from our house. And I remember my pastor, beautiful older man that loved me. He knew I was lost. And he'd beg. I know he's talking to me every week. He just begged me to come to Jesus. And I'd just hold on to that pew just tighter and tighter. I'd say, not today. It ain't happening today. Not today. I ain't going down there in front of everybody today. It just ain't happening. And he'd share the gospel and tell me about Jesus and love me anyway. And I'd just hold on the harder. And then finally, when I was a senior in high school, God pried those old hands loose from that pew and said, it's going to be today. And I said, yes, sir. I'm ready today. You see, here's, if you're not ready, look at what the scripture says. There's a present state in verse 18 that you're in. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. That's the present condition of man today. That's the present condition of your life today. You say, Pastor, that's tough. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. But it's a warning. I've said this, Max and Sherry have heard me say this for years. If we know the bridge is out, and we know the bridge is out, shouldn't we be in the middle of the road going as the cars careen off the bridge? Over and over and over and over again. Shouldn't we be out there in the middle of the road screaming, the bridge is out? You see, the current condition of your soul today and the current condition of your life today is he that does not believe is condemned already. I mean, it's almost like there's been a stamp. Condemned. 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 Why? Because you haven't believed. You know what happens when you believe? There's a bigger stamp goes over that one. Amen? Amen? That's a believer. He's a believer. He's a follower. I promise you this, my old soul, there was a place where there was a big rubber stamp of condemned. But on that Thursday night in that youth revival, that old stamp was washed away and a new stamp was in replaced. Amen. This is the current state of your soul. This is the current state of your life. If you have not believed, you're already condemned. Well, Brother Chuck, I'm working on that. I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be a better, you know, have a better life. Look at this. Let's pretend for just one second. Bear with me. I know the hour, I promise. This book is the book of my life. In the front, this is my birth certificate. In the back is my death certificate. And everything in between is all the good, bad, and ugly. Don't judge me like that. Yours is exactly the same. Amen? Yours is exactly the same. Here's the difference between me and some of you, though, this morning. See, this is my life. And I've heard that story. If I just trust Jesus, you know, I want to be God. We raise our hand. We want to go to heaven. So here's what I've done. I've turned my life around. I've turned my life around, and I've turned my life around so many times. I've stopped this, and I've stopped that, and I've stopped that other thing, and I started this, and I started that. And for a while, it made me feel like I was closer to God. But the reality of it is, my sin still separates me from God. So somebody told me, said, you know what? It's a new year. And if you'll just do this, if you'll just turn over a new leaf in your life, make some new resolutions. Stop trying to turn your life around and just turn over a new leaf in your life. Guess what? It'll make a difference. I did that too. Maybe a little while it made me feel closer to God, but you know what? Before I knew it, I was right back here. Here's the cool thing. The Bible says that Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's why we call him the infinite God-man. He came down out of heaven. And the scripture says, now look at this. Instead of me trying to get to him by turning my life around or turning over a new leaf of my life, the Bible says he came down out of heaven and he lived among us and he walked among us and he died for us. And the Bible says now all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned on his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he removed my sin from me. Never to be remembered anymore. And my favorite verse says he cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? That old preacher said he drove up that no fishing sign too. Amen? And now I have an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. If that's not your story, the Bible says you're condemned already. Last thing, I promise. One last thought, and then we'll finish. This persistent state, I want you to see. Because again, I didn't write this. But you have to see the last part of this so you can make a decision for yourself before you leave today. And I want to make sure that I read it clearly. And this, notice what it says. And the way this is written, it means it's so important that you see that. And this is the condemnation. That the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Look at the next verse. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And the last verse, verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. I want you to see this persistent state. The sinner has no one to blame for their condition but them. Oh, Brother Chuck, if they'd have just heard, they've heard. They've seen. They have no one to blame. You'll not stand before God one day and go, well, if I'd have just known. So one day when you stand before God, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, the Bible says you're going to be without excuse that day. Really? You mean I won't get another chance that day? You mean I can't blame that on somebody else? If somebody would have just told me, if somebody would have just cared enough to tell me. Jesus has already done everything in his power to save you. He died for you, paid your sin debt, he rose again from the dead. He prays for you at the Father's throne. That's amazing. He's drawing you to himself today. And some of you are still holding on so tight. And that persistent state will come one day. If you persist in denying the Lord, you're going to run out of time one day. Today's the day. Now is the time, the scripture says. You know, if you haven't learned a whole lot from this passage of Jesus being the master teacher, I think it's plain to see that God has done everything to provide eternal life for you and I. You and I just have to make that decision. Take that next step of faith. Amen. That Thursday night, I knew nothing about anything. And I was holding on to that old pew so tight. But I promise you this. Salvation didn't start for me when I got in that altar and somebody showed me the scripture. You know where it started for me? When I let go of that pew and took that first step, there's a peace passed over me like I had never felt before. That act of obedience and faith, I stepped out there and I said, yes, Lord. Some of you need to make the same decision. If you are saved, some of you need to. Listen, We have the answer for the world's condemnation. His name's Jesus. God, help us to share that story, amen, over and over and over and over again. You got family and friends. Students, people you influence. What must I do to be saved? The jailer said to Paul. He said, believe. Believe, and you'll be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for the hour that we've had. Lord, what an awesome day to be able to be in your house. Lord, we hear of your tremendous power at work in the life of your children. Lord, we're able to sing how you're the one that set us free. And Lord, that no matter what we're going through, you'll do it again and again. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word for a few minutes this morning. I pray, Father, for those that are prepared for eternity. God, that you would just, Lord, burden us to the point where we can't sleep at night because there's people we need to be praying for. People that we need to be on our knees in this altar, in this church, praying that, God, you would speak to them and call them out of the darkness. They appear to love that so much, like the scripture says, but you came to point them to the light. Father, I also pray most importantly for those people here this morning that their current condition of their soul is that they're condemned already. Jesus is the answer for that. Have your way this morning. Lord, move among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand and sing with us this morning. Don't wait for someone else. You move right now if God's speaking to your heart. You need to pray in this altar for yourself or for somebody else or whatever the case may be. Or you want to speak to me privately. Make your way down now. Come quickly while we sing.